Mics are live.
Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10:02 on Wednesday, May 1st. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotchis. Also present with me are Commissioner Julie Fedorchak and Commissioner Randy Christman. So we do have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I don't have any opening comments either.
Commissioner Christman.
Okay, I'll buy you a little time so you can think about what you're going to say on your portfolio items. Two things that kind of particularly interesting in recent days. I was able to participate in a roundtable with Congressman Armstrong, a lot of energy-related companies, EERC, some regulators, that sort of thing, and he's on a select committee on climate change in the House, and it's going to be an interesting committee because I think it'll be where legislation regarding the Green New Deal and some other things that could be pretty detrimental to North Dakota energy production are probably going to come from, and he's on there probably being a voice of reason to some of the things that I might think are pretty unreasonable coming out of that committee. So I was really appreciative that he's taking the time to bring people in North Dakota together and gather information and prepare for whatever fights come of that. We've also had our SPP meeting in Tulsa over the weekend till yesterday morning. And an interesting thing that's come up in at least one state, I wasn't able to stick around for all day Tuesday to really visit to see other people's reaction. It was an Oklahoma regulator that brought it up. So I don't know if it's happened in other states already too, but in multiple rate cases, they're getting strong pushback from multiple interveners about the RTO costs that are being included in the utility rates. And I haven't heard of that being separated out and getting strong pushback from interveners in the past. And so I guess I don't know if it's a sign of things to come or if it was just something that got started by one and others jumped on the bandwagon in one state or what, but that was an interesting development. So no other opening comments.
All right. Thank you. We have 16 items on consent and the previous minutes. And one note on that, originally we had 17 items on consent. One was withdrawn, so we're down to 16. And, of course, again, as mentioned the previous minutes, I move they be approved.
Second.
Question? I don't have 16. I show 7 and 2 and 3.
17.
Well, 17.
17 minus the 1, as mentioned.
Oh, because you're counting like RC1 four times because there's those QPAPs.
Right there.
Okay, I was counting RC1 as one. Okay, now I'm with you. Sorry about that.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, and we've just completed the most difficult part of the meeting, so I'll just go into regular agenda at
motion
this point.
Motion is approved.
Sorry, Steve. Okay, first item that I have, I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement and Public Service Commission Liberty Resources LLC damage prevention enforcement case number PU-18-355.
Second.
On October 3rd, 2018, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from Whiting Oil and Gas Corporation alleging a violation by Liberty Resources of North Dakota Century Code, the One Call Excavation Notice System. We did send a letter to Liberty. They responded to that letter, and as a result of dialogue with Liberty, a consent agreement between the Public Service Commission, advocacy staff, and, again, Liberty was filed for the resolution of the complaints. The complaint or the violation alleged by Whiting was that Liberty failed to update the information provided to the North Dakota One Call Notification Center on a timely basis. And as a part of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23-03, subsection 3 provides that an operator shall participate in and share the costs of the One Call Excavation Notice System by submitting the information required by the Notification Center to allow the center to notify the operation of excavation activity and updating the information provided to the Notification Center on a timely basis. Liberty has saltwater lines in the area of this excavation. However, they were not on the list of operators notified on the ticket. This indicates that they were that if there were lines in the excavation area, they were not registered as required by Liberty. Under the consent agreement, Liberty agrees to be assessed a civil penalty of $6,500. They agree to remit $5,500 of that $6,500 payable to the Public Service Commission within 10 days of business of an order, and the remaining $1,000 civil penalty is suspended on the condition that Liberty commits no further violation of North Dakota Century Code Chapter 49-23 within 5 years of the date of the order. So in a nutshell, Liberty was not updating information as required by an operator, and they did have saltwater lines in this particular area. These lines actually date back to the 80s, so they've been in the ground a long time. And the issue is not only that they failed to have those properly registered with the One Call Center, but saltwater in itself, there really isn't a good substance that can spill and permeate the soil. But saltwater in particular is one of the most damaging agents to the environment. And it takes years for soil to recover. And in some instances, the soil is just, even after decades, is just not the same again. So this is a very serious matter. Hence, the fine was aggressive in that respect, and I think appropriate.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I had just one question on this case. Was there was no strike or leak of the infrastructure, correct? It was just that they hadn't included it in the system. So whoever knew it was there and found this, that's really heads up.
It really is, and I would, you know, these people know that, okay, we've got oil well, a pad, another pad, another pad, and they know the salt water is being captured. And someone did notice the fact that there wasn't anything on the ticket indicating where the salt water lines would be.
Yeah,
so, that's... no, very sharp on Whiting's part.
So kudos to Whiting for their good employee training and being on guard for this type of thing. They saved a huge potential mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just amazing that knowing these lines have been in the ground since the 80s, that they have not been hit.
Yeah. The other thing that comes to mind on this, because of the $1,000 penalty that remains out there, if they have any further issues, I would assume that this company has now gone through the process of notifying One Call of all of their infrastructure. And do we verify that they are doing that, or can we, with our staff, verify that that's been done, that, you know, they've taken that step?
We absolutely can do that, and I'm trying to think if it's worded specifically that way. But follow-up is definitely in order.
Yeah, it might even be worth working with Petroleum Council to send a note out to their members saying, you know, this was recently an issue. It was handled proactively, and the company's, you know, was very cooperative. But for anybody out there with lines, make sure that they're being included into the system.
And I'm getting a thumbs up and a yes from Victor. It has been done.
And the Petroleum Council stuff, too, working with them to say, you know, to get a note out to their members reminding them to engage with the one-call system and get their infrastructure identified through
it. We can certainly do that, yes. But in this case, the company did provide to us confirmation that they did go back and review all of their lines and make sure they're now registered.
Very good. I'm particularly on the salt water on this instance, but I do think it gives us a trigger point to have that conversation with Petroleum Council just to double check.
Yeah. Follow up, definitely.
All right, great. Thank you, Victor.
Any further discussion? Sensing none.
A good lead off to that conversation might be something to highlight the great work by Whiting.
Yeah.
You know, a positive sometimes goes further than, have you guys all double checked?
Right.
And make a big deal out of Whiting finding this, and then it's pretty obvious to conclude that some people have been failing to get their paperwork in.
Yeah, may need to confirm that their stuff is all included in the system.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company Renewable Resource Cost Recovery 2019 rates, case number PU-18-368.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
On October 10th, 2018, Northern States Power, NSP, filed a revision to its renewable energy rider rate to recover the 2019 revenue requirements associated with renewable energy projects. On November 8th, 2018, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. No response was received. On November 27th, 2018, NSP filed a correction revising its 2019 RER revenue requirement and the RER rate. On February 6, 2019, the Commission discussed the matter with NSP during an informal hearing. And on February 15th, NSP filed supplemental information and a request to increase the RER rate in recognition of a shortened 9-month billing period effective April 1st, 2019. NSP reports a 9-month April through December 2019 RER revenue requirement of $1.9 million approximately, resulting in an RER rate of 0.1191 cents per kilowatt hour. The monthly billing impact for a residential customer using 750 kilowatt hours per month would be an increase of approximately 89 cents. A couple points on this. There are a lot of ways that different generation types wind up as a part of a customer's bill. And it's worth noting that NSP, the only generation that Northern States Power Company has, the only generation that Northern States Power Company has in North Dakota, on the ground in North Dakota, are wind facilities, and I think they're all in the eastern part of the state. I know they came online before I was a part of the picture. But so the rest of their generation that North Dakota customers use is a mix of renewable. Of course, there's Sherco coal units in Minnesota. They've got the nuclear in Minnesota as well. So they are generating power out of state. They are sending it into market. This was a part of a larger portfolio of renewable projects that instead of the company buying on the open market at 2.5 cents per kilowatt hour, they're now generating at 1.7 to 2.0 cents per kilowatt hour, and that was a part of the $84 million savings, energy savings in the customer. But I think it gets really confusing for customers because sometimes they think, well, is this something new? And the answer is no. There are a number of different generation types that are in base rate currently, including wind generation that is not located in North Dakota. So this certainly isn't new. In 2016, the Odell Wind Farm in Minnesota, the Pleasant Valley Wind Facility in Minnesota were also given ADPs unanimously by the commission. So this isn't new, but it does get confusing because customers look at the bill and they say, well, wait a second. It's going up, so I'm paying for that wind resource. And the reality is in base rate, they pay for every type of generation resource. Everything is factored into the rate. And sometimes it shows up in a rider. Sometimes it goes straight into base rate and doesn't go through the rider process, which ultimately or eventually does convert to base rate. And I believe just about every instance, or maybe there's an exception with another company, but this is a small increase overall on the monthly bill, and it will be, again, effective on... Pardon, Jerry? For June 1st. Okay, thank you.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
The one point I would just add to that is that the calculation on costs is also takes into consideration that you have paid for the capital costs of the wind facility or any new generation facility, and then the fuel costs go down for the other generation, so that's where in the net is a decrease in rates over time. So I think that's, you know, also important when people see and look in isolation on their bills, a line that shows renewable energy costs going up and they are paying for those, it's true, what they probably don't notice as evidently right away is the reduction in the fuel costs, which over time gets to the savings that we review and take into consideration when we vote on the ADPs.
I think one, did you have any? You know, one thing that I think when you look at a lot of the decisions we make, sometimes they may align with my own philosophical belief, and sometimes they don't. But it's about looking at what we're tasked with and understanding that we're not directly running the company as their CEO, but rather they're making decisions, and then we have to evaluate those decisions.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, next is BK3. I move the commission adopt the order and Otter Tail Power Company 2019 Renewable Resource Cost Recovery Adjustment Factor Rates, case number PU-19-17.
Second.
Okay, everyone's going to hang on as I explain this one. This is kind of an interesting one. So here's the easy part first. On December 31st, 2018, Otter Tail Power Company filed an increase to its renewable resource adjustment to recover 2019 revenue requirements associated with those resources. The renewable resource adjustment is part of the energy and renewable adjustment on the customer's electric bills. Then in January of this year, 2019, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing related to this. No response was received. Otter Tail's renewable resource adjustment update includes true-up balances and associated carrying costs and the difference between the deferred tax asset for production tax credits included in base rates and the actual balances resulting in a proposed credit to customers of $235,000 for the 2019 recovery period. Otter Tail would increase the renewable resource adjustment from a credit of -1.362% on customers' bills to a new proposed credit of -0.224%. So it's still going to show up as a credit on the bill. But the impact in terms of the change, and this is, and I'll add one more thing after I say this, it's going to increase the customer's bill by 94 cents a month for an average customer consuming 1,000 kilowatt hours during that month. But here's what happened, in real simple terms. The credit was greater than it should have been. So now that credit has been reduced, but it still winds up as being a credit on the customer's bills. It's just a smaller credit. So the rate's moving up, but that new rate, that increase is still less than customers were previously paying prior to the overcredit, if you will, that occurred.
So, now you have me confused.
Well, I was trying to break it down and really in a somewhat, hopefully, easy-to-understand manner, which I didn't accomplish.
It made sense, Mr. Chairman, when I just read it.
Yeah. Okay, started here, went here, somewhere in between, so.
I agree.
No one's going to touch it.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying no. Motion is approved.
Okay, my last item, BK4, I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company customer credit DOE settlement 2017 application case number PU-19-93.
Second.
On March 1st, 2019, Northern States Power filed a petition for approval to refund to customers the 9th and 10th settlement payments arising from the U.S. Department of Energy's inability to accept nuclear waste under the Federal Nuclear Waste Policy Act. And this ties back to the Yucca Mountain Nuclear Depository, or any nuclear depository for that matter, but Yucca Mountain was in the news for quite some time as one of the targeted sites. So there was essentially a surcharge that companies were paying utility companies, I shouldn't say utility companies necessarily, but operators of nuclear facilities. So they were getting a surcharge placed upon them. They were paying that into the federal government. And without a clear sense of direction on where that nuclear depository would be or will be, or even if it's going to ultimately occur, payments are now going back to those operators. And the 9th and 10th payment, as mentioned, are a part of that. So what we're going to look at is that NSP is requesting to combine the 9th payment of approximately $773,000 received in November of this past year, 2018, and a pending 10th payment expected near the end of 2019 into a one-time bill credit to be issued with interest during early 2020. Alternatively, NSP suggests the 9th payment could be refunded with interest through the fuel cost rider based on each customer's current usage rather than the customer's historical usage during the period when the money was collected. So the issues that to be determined in this matter are whether the 9th and 10th settlement payment refund should be combined in a future bill credit, whether NSP's 9th settlement payment refund amount is just and reasonable, and whether the commission should grant a waiver of its automatic adjustment clause rules to enable a refund of the 9th settlement payment through the fuel cost recovery. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by June 19, 2019. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine these proceedings without a hearing. For more information, contact the Public Service Commission, State Capitol here in Bismarck at 701-328-2400.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in One Oak Bakken Pipeline LLC 20-inch NGL Pipeline, McKenzie County Siting Application Case Number PU-18-399.
Second.
On November 28th of last year, One Oak Bakken Pipeline filed with the PSC a consolidated application for a certificate of corridor compatibility and route permit for the location of a 20-inch natural gas liquids transmission pipeline in McKenzie County, North Dakota. We received that application, had a number back and forth with the company seeking a little bit more information from them, and on February 28th deemed the application complete. We scheduled a hearing for April 3rd and held that hearing as scheduled in Wofford City. Through the process, it is clear that One Oak Bakken Pipeline is a Delaware limited liability company authorized to do business in North Dakota. This project consists of 77 miles of 20-inch diameter steel pipeline with approximately 24.3 miles located in McKenzie County. The project includes 7 mainline block valves, 1 pig launcher facility, and 1 pig launcher with receiver facility. The project is capable of transporting up to 40,000 barrels of NGLs per day. It will originate at the Demicks Lake Natural Gas Processing Plant in McKenzie County and terminate in Richland County, Montana, at a planned interconnection with a One Oak affiliate pipeline, where the product will then be transported south to markets in the central part of the country. The estimated cost of the project is $125 million, and the company anticipates a fourth quarter 2019 in-service date for the facility. In going through the application here, the company conducted several surveys and habitat assessments across an approximately 300-foot wide corridor centered on the project route. One Oak conducted natural resource surveys, which included wetland and water body surveys, noxious weed surveys, and a general habitat assessment for state and federally listed species. One Oak corresponded and coordinated with 27 different state, local, and federal agencies. In terms of the siting criteria, the state, there is one eligible cultural resource site on record with the North Dakota State Historic Preservation Office, which would be an exclusion area within the project corridor. One Oak testified that construction will not impact the portions of the site which contribute to this eligibility. One Oak studies and surveys did not record any other exclusion areas within the survey area. A designated or registered national grasslands are an avoidance area, and the project crosses the Little Missouri National Grasslands. 7 out of 9 miles of the proposed route that crosses the grasslands are co-located with existing pipeline corridors. One Oak will obtain a special use permit from the U.S. Forest Service prior to commencing construction at this crossing. There's no reasonable alternative to crossing the Little Missouri National Grasslands based on the origination and termination points of the project. One Oak has co-located the route to the extent possible and avoided the grasslands where possible in areas where co-location did not occur. Geographically unstable or potentially unstable areas are also avoidance areas. To the extent the One Oak is going to impact these, they will do additional engineering evaluations and reroute to avoid construction in any geologically unstable area, or will file with the commission its analysis supporting there's no reasonable alternative to the construction. One Oak testified there are areas within 500 feet of a residence, school, or place of business are an avoidance area. One Oak testified it will obtain landowner waivers for all of those potential areas. There were 3 occupied structures of that, and they already have waivers in 2 of those for 2 of those structures. Wetlands, woodlands, and wooded areas are also in the selection criteria. The route crosses 16 wetlands and 12 water bodies. One Oak will avoid wetlands and water bodies or will employ horizontal directional drilling, boring, or where the open cut technique is used, will follow best practice management policies to minimize impacts. One Oak testified they routinely inspect the pipeline, including right-of-way inspection using an area patrol every other week. They will participate in North Dakota One Call system. They will clean their construction equipment before arriving on the construction site to address the spread of noxious weeds. They conducted extensive Dakota Skipper habitat and occupancy studies. In fact, they noted that the cost of their Dakota Skipper studying and mitigation is upward of 7 figures just for the Dakota Skipper. And so they have plans in place to avoid impact to that endangered species or listed species. One Oak co-located approximately 69% of the route in North Dakota within an existing pipeline corridor in an effort to minimize environmental disruption, and this amounts to 51 miles of the total line being co-located. It will be designed, constructed, maintained, and inspected to USDOT Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration guidelines. It will be equipped with a SCADA system that will be monitoring the pipeline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year by train control personnel. The system will monitor the flow and pressure, and the system will allow One Oak to identify and respond to situations outside of normal operating conditions. Two of the seven valves can be remotely shut off. One Oak will employ one or more environmental inspectors on site every day during construction and will employ third-party inspectors to monitor the construction activities and ensure activities are in compliance with the company processes and practices and with the order provided by the Public Service Commission. So this is a significant new line, 70-plus miles for natural gas liquids. There's two things that I think are noteworthy in this project. First of all, the efforts of the company to co-locate the line along existing pipeline routes. These areas have been previously disturbed, and this has significantly less impact to landowners, to the environment, and to the general disruption of the area. And so that's an important quality of this this project that I think is really noteworthy and valuable. And secondly, this is really important critical infrastructure to support the continued production in the Bakken, to reduce flaring, and to transport this energy product as safely as possible in a manner that has the least impact to the people, to the quality of life in the area, and to the environment. So all things considered, I think the we went through a very thorough process on this siting project. We have determined with this order that the project meets the minimal impact standards, and I'm ready to support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will say I mentioned in the opening comments about that energy roundtable, and of course one of the points of discussion over there was natural gas flaring. And when I was able to point out the extensive amount of gas processing that is already sited and under construction or recently completed in North Dakota, and the huge amount of additional processing that we'll have available by about the end of this year or very early into 2020, while that's not enough to take care of the problem long term, it is a huge step forward. But it only does any good without projects like this. And I didn't point this project out specifically because it was an open case, but got very good feedback about the thoroughness of our project, but also the speed at which we're able to move them along and do a thorough job. And that only occurs when companies like One Oak come in with good applications that have not only met the needs of their landowners along the way from whom they need easements, but have also made sure that they do, in fact, do the things that you just explained so thoroughly of making sure that, that impacts to the environment or to other citizens are minimized as well. So hats off on that.
Randy, you make a good point about the thoroughness and the speed, and that's kind of a balancing act here. But I think that in this case, we did it really well. They applied in November, and there was quite a lot of give and take with staff and the company to make sure that we had the correct information that we needed to review it. That took a couple of months. But by the time we deemed it to complete to today, that's about a two-month process, yep, including the notice, the public hearing, good public input, and are working through the remaining issues and issuing an order. So I think that that's, you know, I think that hats off to the staff for getting it done and doing it both thoroughly and in an efficient manner.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved. Mr. Chairman, K Can we stand at ease for 1 minute, please?
Yes, we can.
I think our broadcast went down.
You may have to do that all again.
No. It's on the recording. Suffice to say, I move. All in favor? No. Oh, good job, Matt.
How long was the audio down as well? But okay, but we were recorded the whole time?
Record went fine, yeah. Okay. So technically we are okay.
Okay, so you are off the hook.
Mm-hmm. I could reread it all.
Maybe the chairman could repeat the motion and the discussion.
Yeah.
Before we move.
Okay, I can do that ditto.
All right, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, my second order, I move the commission deem complete the, or my second motion, I mean, I move the commission deem complete the combined application for a corridor certificate and route permit and issue a notice of filing and public hearing in Belfouche Pipeline Company 8-inch Wilson Bowline Pipeline Conversion Project citing application case number PU-18-404.
Second.
A public hearing on that on this application in case number 18-404 is scheduled for June 11th, 2019 at 9 a.m. Central Time at Teddy's Residential Suites in Wofford City. Belfouche Pipeline Company filed a combined application for a corridor certificate and route permit for the conversion of approximately 20-mile-long, 8-inch existing crude oil pipeline to a crude oil transmission line in McKenzie County. So this is an existing line that will be a conversion, and the public is invited to come and tell us about any concerns or questions that they have on this project on June 11th in Wofford City, 9 a.m.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. This is a second conversion project. My next motion, I move the commission deem complete the combined application for a corridor certificate and route permit and issue a notice of filing and public hearing in Belfouche Pipeline Company 6-inch Skunk Hill DPR Pipeline Conversion Project, citing application case number PU-18-404.
Second.
405, sorry.
Second.
A public hearing on the application in case number PU-18-405 is scheduled for June 10th, 2019 at 1 p.m. Central Time, 12 p.m. Mountain Time at Town Place Suites by Marriott in Dickinson, North Dakota. Belfouche Pipeline Company filed an application. So this is the day before the previous hearing. Belfouche Pipeline Company filed a combined application for a corridor certificate, excuse me, and route permit for the conversion of an approximately 18-mile-long, 6-inch existing crude oil pipeline to a crude oil transmission line in Stark, Dunn, and Billings County, North Dakota. And the public is invited to come to this hearing, which will be held at 1 p.m. in Dickinson on June 10th to learn about and discuss this 18-mile conversion, crude oil conversion pipeline project. These are both, I just want to comment, you know, these conversion projects are something that we want to see companies doing to the extent that they can use existing facilities in a better, more efficient way and come forward and go through this project. This line is already in the ground. It's already, the impact has already been done. So let's use it to its maximum and not build a new line and impact new ground in the construction that way. That said, we go through the same process and review what the company's plans are and the standards and the safety and all these sorts of things and the reclamation, if there's any reclamation issues that might be remaining from the original construction. So it's still a very thorough process, and we're very interested in getting public input if people have any concerns or questions.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
concludes my portfolio.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Christman?
I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in North American Local LLC designated eligible carrier application case number PU-19-127.
Second.
On April 8th, North American Local with principal offices in Pensacola, Florida, filed an application for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier for the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers, also known as Lifeline-only ETC designation. North American proposes to provide wireless prepaid Lifeline universal services to qualifying low-income North Dakota consumers using both its own facilities or a combination of its own facilities and resale of another carrier's facilities. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by close of business on June 5th.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission submit the 2020 administration and enforcement grant application to the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement to request federal funds that are needed to carry out the coal regulatory program for the next one-year grant period that begins July 1st of 2019 and ends June 30th of 2020.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
For the grant period, OSM, Office of Surface Mining, has allocated $996,442 for our coal regulatory program. This is approximately $1,800 more than our current grant, so almost exactly the same. But it's over $20,000 less than our earlier budget projection of about $1,015,000, which was provided to OSM earlier. The 2019 administration enforcement grant application for our regulatory program has been prepared based on the OSM grant allocation and is ready to submit to them. The total amount of the grant app, including the state share, is $1,556,941. That includes both direct and indirect costs. Of this total, the federal share is $996,442, as I mentioned earlier. The state share is $560,499. The federal-state funding split, it will be 64% federal and 36% state based on OSM's federal lands funding formula. And that formula considers the federal coal acreage in existing permits and pending applications that will permit new acreage. So the operating items proposed in the 2020 grant budget are about half of the total operating funds that were budgeted for the Reclamation Division in our own 2019 to 2021 biennium.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed signify by saying no. Motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio.
All right, thank you. In terms of announcements, we do have a 1:30, an informal meeting here. Okay, I'm going to say this again. An informal hearing at 1:30 today, and that's for Otter Tail Power Generation Resource Cost Recovery. Our next regular commission meeting is Wednesday, May 15th, here at the commission room at the State Capitol as well, and that will be at 10 a.m. Friday, May 17th, we have a formal hearing at 9 a.m., and that is case number PU-19-85, the One Oak Bakken Pipeline, and that will be up at the Little Missouri Inn and Suites in Watford City, North Dakota. I believe that would conclude the announcements. We will now take a brief recess and questions from the press, followed by a short break. This meeting is now in recess.